I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Abrams driving one to deep left center field. This is way back. At the wall is Laureano leaping. He can't get it. It is gone. Goodbye. C.J. Abrams, who led off the game with a home run on the first pitch, fouled a pitch away in his second at bat, and then homers on the second pitch to left center field.
In 1 hour at 4 o'clock, we've got tickets to give away to see The Offspring at Jiffy Lube Live. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Make sure you're listening for those tickets in about 55 minutes. The show's brought to you today by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That is kmlawyers.com.
Let's get to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's where we find our guy, Kevin Franzen. You watch him on the call, on the color with Bob Carpenter, night in and night out. Nats baseball on Masson. And how about the Nats, Franny? They go to Baltimore. They take three straight from the Brewers. They sweep their regional rivals. They've won 4 out of 5, and the Bats have finally woken up.
Yeah, can we address one thing, though?
Sure.
Danny can read.
Yeah. A lot of people would have lost money in the office pool.
That is awesome. Congratulations, man. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you, buddy.
Working on that quite a bit.
Thank you, buddy.
The one thing that will always go with every fan, doesn't matter the team, when you don't score, it looks like there's no effort. Looks like a lot of effort, doesn't it, of late? You know what I mean? Like, these guys have been working so hard. They collectively have had a struggle, right? Like, for quite some time. And it's not from the lack of talent, lack of game planning and all this stuff. It's just, it was a rut. And you dig yourself even deeper when you feel like you have to score a bunch of runs all the time. It's almost, there's a lot of similarities between them and the Orioles at times. Because for the first time in a while, the pitching side, starters, relievers weren't all, synced up, for a considerable amount of time. But now you see what happens when you get great starting pitching with good quality hitting. And it was fun to see. It was really fun actually to see, because hitting 5 homers, I could do that more often.
I'll take those. Yeah,
it was fun.
And you know what else, too, Franny? The fact that it wasn't the third time through the order, like late explosion to come back and win a game or whatever. You jump out to 6-run lead in the first on Saturday. You score 6 in the second for a 7-run lead on Sunday. So, I mean, it's just rare. You and Bob are having one of those games where it's kind of not a lot of drama. Like, they're just way out in front the whole way. Back-to-back days, that has not happened in a long time.
No, it hasn't. And you know what? I think what's even more impressive is what Jake Irvin and Mike Soroka did, right? You get those big leads, and it's not about getting the zeros. It's about the way they did it. I mean, Michael Soroka didn't even have a 3-ball count yesterday. I didn't say anything until he got out of the game, because I was like, that's kind of like an impressive thing to do. But when you have that big of a lead, what's the number one killer for a manager, any fan, or anybody in general, is just a walk, right? Like, guys coming out and not attacking the strike zone, and both guys, back-to-back days, just absolutely delivering. And I think that's the part that, I get you, we're going to be so excited about the offensive side, but again, you got to have the pitching to go along with it at the same time and to get the shutdown of everything. And that, to me, was the part that I was so impressed with, is not only getting out to those leads, but just putting it right back on them, bullying them, technically in that situation with Irvin and Soroka.
Kevin Franzen with us here on Grant and Danny. Watching James Wood go left on left and just sort of looks like he's hitting a chip. Like he's like, I'm about 100 yards out. I got a pitching wedge here. I'm going to see if I can just land one on top of the green. Just a calm, casual 400 and change. It's stupid how good he is at this stage. I mean, just address that, Franny, if you would. But then be like the left on left part that's supposed to be a problem doesn't really seem to be.
Well, I think it actually plays better for him. because there's a lot of things that, like, you know, not a lot of guys can get in there on him. You know, the lefties don't just go inside on left-handers, you know, or very comfortable with it. I think that's a part of it. I cannot tell you how impressed I am. I can't, because I feel like there's no words that describe it, because the demeanor by him too adds that special, I know I'm supposed to do this. You know what I mean? Like, there is nothing about what he possesses as far as like that demeanor out there saying like, oh man, this is crazy. I've never done this in my life. It's like when he hits it, you're like, yep, I get it. I get it, because this is what he's always done. It is, Ryan Spielborgs, who did the Apple game last week, is one of my, you know, best buddies to do a lot of stuff on XM with him. And he's like, I just can't get over how like easy everything is. Like, the swings are easy. The pop is easy. The running is easy, like all this stuff. And to me, that's the part that, you know, he does it with such effortless fluidity, right? That just makes it crazier. Like, you have this short, compact swing for a guy that's 6'7". Like, guys that are 6'7" don't have short, compact swings. They have longer, you know, considerably longer swings in general. So, I just, like, I sit there and I just start laughing. I think I've a couple of people, broadcasters have watched some of the games of ours, that they're like, we love your horse laugh after he homers. I'm like, it's funny though, isn't it? Because it's like the pitch he's doing it on, or the count he's doing it in, you're not supposed to do it where he's done it. The Miami game, hitting the 3-0 pitch left center that like peaked at 61 feet. Are you serious? Like, come on, who does that? Like, seriously, James Wynn does. And that's the stuff that like just makes you, I hope people understand, I don't take this thing for granted ever. Right. And being able to call games like this and do this. And that's why I laugh, because I have a good time, because this stuff is fun to see.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because what I was going to say is I think you guys do a really good job. And the fact that you played and you know how hard it is, what he's doing, ridiculous it is, adds a lot to it. But my favorite thing has actually been to see some of the calls of the visiting crews, because they haven't seen it. And they're literally blown away. Guys like Cliff Floyd, if you remember, in Miami, was like, what in the hell was that? And this is a big, hulking, major league slugger with, I don't know, what he hit, 350, 400 home runs or whatever? Who was it the other night? It wasn't even the player, but it was...
Was it Kevin Brown?
Kevin Brown.
The monster in the closet.
He's like, well, this guy's like the beast at the end of the level. Like, this is the bad guy you can't beat. I just love the way other people are talking about him. But I just looked this up, by the way. So... he's on pace for 40 home runs and 101 RBI as a 22-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I just looked this up. Harmon Killebrew is the only guy I can find as a 22-year-old. He turned 23 that season, like James will, to have gone 40 and 100, being 22 at the beginning of the year. That was in like 1961. It is insane what we're seeing.
Yeah, because with all due respect to Harmon Killebrew, he's not doing it against this pitching.
Right.
Right.
Just saying. You know, like that's the part that you're seeing with James is, you know, the adjust. You know what's crazy is the adjustments too, right? Like that we get to see. Whether it's a bat to a bat or game to game, series to series, about teams and how organizations pitch to him differently, and his ability to adjust. And I don't care. Like, you know, guys that have played with Bonds, I played with him multiple seasons. It's the greatest hitter of all time. Like, it's a fact. I don't care what people want to, you know, fight me on. Steroids. And I was like, it's the greatest hitter of all time. Fact. To watch this guy and to have that feeling of, like, when we're in San Francisco, I can't wait till Barry sees him. Because, like, Barry will love him. Like, it's everything that you could possibly imagine from a great hitter. The strike zone recognition, I think he gets kind of some of his chases that we'll see are based on bad calls previously, right? So he won't go after those pitches at all, but he'll get called. I mean, so this year he's been, I think it's 8 more than the next closest guy on balls down below the knee, below the zone, as called strikes. 8 is the closest. And to me, that says something about him and his ability to lay off those and know his strike zone more than anything. You don't have that from 22-year-olds, right? We saw one with one of the greatest that we could possibly see at a young age in Juan Soto. But I mean, like, now that this guy's ours, and to see it every day and to witness, like, just the calmness of everything, It's like, God, this guy's he's tremendous.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friend, the other guy that's killing it, CJ Abrams. And what happens a lot of times in sports is we're always looking for the next star. And it's like, this is an ancient history. He's 24 years old, having a renaissance campaign. I feel like, and I want your thoughts on this, is again, as a guy that's forgotten more this morning than I'll ever know. But I feel like when he gets in trouble, it's like a couple poolside bombs, and it's like, ooh, that's fun. I should try to do that more. And doesn't take his hits the opposite way. And, you know, teams can kind of live out there for a while as he's kind of rolling over pitches. Right now, that left center field bomb the other day, he's taking his base hits to left field. We'll always have that pull side pop. And, oh, by the way, he can run like a deer. Like, he is having a year.
Yeah, he is. It's special. It's special upon, you know, like all the other stuff, right, that happened last year. I think that's the part. There's growth. There's true growth. There's yesterday, it wasn't two homers that allowed him to dance. He's just like in that moment. Right, he was dancing on the field, and I'm like, this is great, because we have a guy that just understands, like, I'm it right now. Like, I know James is here, I'm doing this, we're going to have some success together, and it's playing off each other. Now, like, the swing to left field that you – so this year, I mean, he spread out considerably from last year, and it's allowed him – like, I feel like the takes are a lot easier, right? Like, it's ball out of hand in so many cases. I think, like, the next part for him is just understanding that, like, I don't need to do it. He wants to do it, but he doesn't need to do it. That's going to be the next thing. Because I feel like there's times where he needs to do it. And he goes a little bit out of the zone, and that's fine. But the other thing is, that guy is so calm right now and so confident. It's like, we didn't see this last May, right? We saw it in April. We saw it in June. But we didn't see it. And we could consider it, because even though coming off the IL – he played in April, he played in May this year, and he's playing so consistent. It's two back-to-back months, not like way up and way down. It's been both really, really quality months. That's what you want to see the stack, right? 2 months last year was it for him. This year, it's already 2 months. That's the part where you're like, oh, all right, here we go. You know, because now you get to month three when we get to June, and you're like, okay, so what's that – where's the consistency? Is it still there? Because if it is, like, it's beyond monster on everything.
His OPS is 63 points higher than any other qualifying shortstop. That's Bobby Witt, who might win the MVP award this year or in the next couple years in the American League.
Yep.
No, and on top of that...
There's the walk, though. There's the walk, too, right? Like, the walk for him this year, it's not a lot. But it's been a lot more.
Exactly.
Right? In these moments.
And also hitting 315 or, you know, I guess 312. Like, only Jacob Wilson has more better batting average. Like, you can make the case he's been the best shortstop in the sport and certainly in the league so far this season.
Offensively, for sure.
Yeah.
Offensively, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's still – I think he's –
because I think the defense, it needs to still work, but that's fine. Everyone does. But, man, yeah, you bring up all that stuff, and it's just, like, fun. You're not pulling for, like, okay, so if we mix it up right here and – If we put the minimum qualifying, we can make him look good. No, you just put him up, like, to the qualifiers, right? Like, you don't have to fidget anything and make it look like a positive. It's like, no, that's what he is right now. That's where he's at. You don't have to skew anything to make it look in his favor. It's in his favor because he's been that good.
I think they need to approach him about an extension, because he's not a Boris guy. They haven't been able to sign any of these guys at any point. I think the frustration that set in correctly and understandably with the fan base after another couple dormant off seasons here, the time is right. Now, you could have convinced me this past off season, Kev, after what happened, he gets in trouble, gets booted in the final week, he's got to earn it. But, you know, he showed up, as you said, he's improved, he's matured in almost every capacity, everybody's on the same page. I want them to talk to him about an extension.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'd be all in too. I mean, just because, again, the other part of it is, is he a good kid? Absolutely, 100%. So I think that plays a huge part of it. It's not, you know, you bring up all the stuff that happened last year on that, and you're like, okay, did he learn? Yes, he's learned. And how do we know he learned? It's just look at his play, the consistency of his play. I think that's a telltale sign of maturity and growth and taking accountability for yourself, right? So I'd be in.
Last guy I want to touch on with you, Franny's Dylan Cruz. Hit that bolt yesterday. That was good to see. I feel like he and Luis Garcia are like trying for the hard luck trophy over the course of this year. I think those numbers will equalize a little bit. But give me your thoughts. What are you seeing from Cruz?
I think Dylan's been touched by it a lot more than Louis has. I know that. It's hard to describe because, like, you don't see the maturity of a kid like this who's, you know, all the expectations on him being the number two overall pick and, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And he just doesn't let it bother him. Doesn't let it bother him. And for me, I'm so impressed by this kid. I've told you, and I'm okay with that, is he's the closest thing I've seen to Chase Utley. And the way I say that is someone that plays every moment to win, whether it's at a bat, whether it's in the field, whether it's on the bases, he's there to win. And when you have the struggles, you know, quote unquote struggles that he's had and not, you know, have the reaction of that rookie, I would call it the rookie depression, right? Because there is that part of it where you can't, I don't know if I'll ever get, and you don't get that sense. I'm never going to get over this. You don't get that sense. That's the impressive part. And so yesterday when you saw that, you know, ball down the, you know, what, 20 feet down the line on the swinging bunt, it's like, man, he needs 100 more of those to equal what he's earned this year, I feel like. And, you know, nothing ever equals out in our game. I truly don't believe in that. Anyone that wants to tell you that, you just laugh at him right in their face because it ain't true. But the kid hits it so hard. I think yesterday we saw at times a little bit more of a dial back. You know, he doesn't need to swing harder. I think at times we're seeing him swing harder when he doesn't need to. It's just it's Ono in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, or where he's like, no, do more. No, do less.
Do less.
No, do less. And, you know, what are you doing? You're not even doing anything. You know, like one of those things. Like, it's just do less. And when things feel like, you know, they're moving quick for you and all that stuff, do less. Because I truly think the kid's talent is insane. And if people don't believe it because they see the numbers, they're like, oh, they need to send him down to minor leagues. What's the minor leagues going to do for him? Like, honestly, I just want to know.
He's also helping in a lot of ways,
yeah,
right?
That's a winning player, man.
I mean, that's the thing.
The hard 90s, Kev, like, he has me on just that alone.
Yes. That's why the Chase thing always comes up with me, because playing with Chase, playing against Chase, like, being one of my good buddies, like, I never saw a guy bust it and get to the outfield as much as Chase on a ball back to the pitcher. And it sets a tone. It just shows, I'm in it. You're not beating me. Like, great, cool. I grounded out to you. You're like, you didn't win. I'm all the way in the outfield because I had a chance on you. That's the way they think. And when you're a performer like that, at the end of the day, like, we could look at Jackson Chourio's numbers last year. I get it. He was 19 years old at the same time, but similar amount of time in the minor leagues. You look at that and you go, okay, first 2 months, you know, what happened in June, July, August, September? I mean, the kid was, considerably, he could have been up there as the rookie of the year if it wasn't for Paul Skeens.
Expected batting average 64 points higher than the actual average right now for Dylan Cruz. So you'd like to think that as this season goes on,
That's a big discrepancy.
It's a huge number.
That's a huge number. And the same thing goes for the slug, you know, on that. And it's unbelievable for, you know, where he's at still. And to keep that positive mindset and to continue to try to do something to win every day, whether it's with the bat, whether it's a glove or on the base pass, like, to your guys' point, it's impressive.
Yeah, slug's 120 point difference in terms of X versus.
Yeah, not that much, you know. It's all good.
No doubt. Franny, 3 in a row, 4 of 5. We appreciate you, man. Keep calling wins.
Oh, please. It's good for the soul.
Yeah. Makes everybody's life a little easier. There's Kevin Franzen.
See you, bro.
Masson Television. Watch him and Bob on the call. Nats are off today, and then they're back home tomorrow, 6:45 start time. Hear the game here on The Fan. If you're not going out to the yard, You can watch it at home. Franny and Bob taking on the Braves at Nats Park, first time this season.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.